Blog Talk Radio.
4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Liftoff.
Welcome to the Prosperity Power Hour here on the Lifescape Radio Network. My name is Mary Kailstow, and I'm your host. For each week, we bring you entrepreneurs, authors, and other visionaries speaking on the topics of prosperity and abundance. Not only will they talk about that in their own lives, but they'll also provide helpful information so you can work towards bringing greater prosperity to your own life as well. That's what we do here on the Prosperity Power Hour. You can learn more about my work at prosperityvortex.com because my job is to help you stay in the flow. And, of course, you can learn about Lifescape Radio at lifescaperadio.com and see all the great hosts and shows that we have for you every week. So let's go ahead and get started with this week's guest.
Okay, there we go. Okay. Welcome to the Prosperity Power Hour. My name is Mary Kailstow, and I'll be your host. Today, we're chatting with Trish Ward of the Prime Life RX. She's a soulful nutritionist, and we'll be talking today about wellness and ways to make changes in your life. I'd like to go ahead and get started. So welcome, Trish. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, Mary, thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be a part of this.
Wonderful. Well, I am super excited to hear about more about what you do, and I bet our listeners are too. Could you tell them a little bit about the Prime Life RX?
Sure. I am a health and wellness expert who really takes people from their initial yearning to feel well physically and transcend that into them feeling well mentally, emotionally, and spiritually.
That sounds great and so needed. Before we get into the goodness, would you mind letting our listeners know just where they can find out more about you?
Absolutely. I'd love to have them join me. You can find me at www.theprimeliferx.com. You can also reach out to me at trish@theprimeliferx.com. And, of course, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at The Prime Life RX.
Great. I'll make sure we have those links on the blog as well. So you mentioned the term soulful nutritionist, which leads me to believe that this is more than helping people follow their doctor's advice. How does that work? Because for many people facing whatever, you know, health challenges they're dealing with, they kind of feel like that there's only one way, and that's the way that their doctor or, you know, modern medicine tells them. But it sounds like that there's more. How does that work?
Absolutely. So initially, when my clients usually approach me, they are looking to solve a physical problem or an ailment that is really weighing them down, losing weight, potentially some thyroid issues going on, you name it. And what I found through through the process of just really sitting and being with clients is that it's not necessarily always what I call the secondary foods that are weighing people down. It's more the primary foods. So I deal in two realms, primary food and secondary food. Primary food being relationships and career, exercise, and spirituality. And then the secondary foods is actually what we are physically putting in our mouth. And they're linked. So what we're trying to do is find balance between both realms. So the entire person, mental, spiritual, and physical, is nourished.
That sounds fabulous. I think that gave me goosebumps a little bit. That sounded so good. For somebody who maybe is looking for a different way to manage things or knows that they need to do something different, what would be like the first piece of advice that you would give?
That's a great question. You know, it becomes a mind shift, really. And so what I would encourage them to do is grab a journal or a piece of paper and write down we refer to them as goals, but I like to think of them as three commitments that they're willing to make over the next 6 months. And what this does is lets the person kind of really explore and get clear on what they are willing to do for their own health, their physical health, their emotional health, and their spiritual health. I think so much about how we think about being well and what we need to do to achieve that in this Western world is really about deprivation. Like, oh my gosh, I can't eat that and I can't do that. And I don't operate out of that model. I operate in the model of what can we add in to make us feel good and whole and complete. So then we are creating a sustainable plan and confidence in all domains of life. So I would encourage them to grab that sheet of paper, write down three commitments they're willing to do. It could be, I'm going to drink, you know, an extra glass of water a day. I am going to really try to get 30 minutes more sleep a day. I'm going to go through my pantry and really start looking at labels and see where all the hidden sugars are and kind of get rid of that. Something simple and attainable so it becomes sustainable.
Wow. Excellent, excellent advice. There's something that you mentioned that I kind of want to touch on, and that is labels. I come from a background of Weight Watchers and having family members who are diabetic, so we become like label reading, like crazy people. Labels are tough. How do you suggest we look at labels?
That's a great question. Well, labels are tough. They've become way more complicated. One of the things I encourage initially my clients to look at is just deciphering what is actually really being shown on the label. And one thing that I gravitate towards first and I like to share with my clients is looking at the amount of sugars that are in any kind of food. And then what we do is we look at the ingredients. And anything, pardon me, that has an OSC at the end of it or an OL, I tell them to just disregard because that's usually a hidden sugar of some sort or a chemical sugar that's been injected into the food. Another thing that I like to tell my clients is that, you know, honestly, back in the day of our grandparents and everything, they didn't have the weight issues that our country has nowadays because they were eating just fresh food, you know, food that they would go and pick up almost daily, right? It didn't even have a label on it. It was like a bell pepper is a bell pepper. There's no label on a bell pepper. And so what I encourage them, if they are grabbing food that is in a box or a bag, you know, I kind of have this five-ingredient rule. Every once in a while, there's going to be a little bit more than five things, but I have a five-ingredient rule that let's shoot for just five ingredients. And then also, if you can't read what some of the ingredients are, it's a good bet that it's probably not good for your body, and your body's not going to be able to read it also.
Yeah. I'm chuckling a bit because I'm reminded of a conversation that I had with a friend of mine, and we were talking about cheese. Mm. And she was talking about, like, Velveeta. And I was like, you mean that chemical cheese? And she had no idea what I was talking about. I'm like, it's a block of chemicals that they painted orange.
Oh, gosh. Yes, it is. Yuck.
Granted, it's a tasty block of chemicals, but it is a block of chemicals. So along those lines, without diving too deeply into the weeds of this, like butter, I am a firm believer that butter, with the three ingredients on the label, is like way better than anything margarine-wise. And absolutely. I tend to kind of go by that in my own life and find that I feel better. Is that, should we be not worried about fat and fatty foods as much rather than the chemical part of it?
I absolutely agree with that. I'm a proponent of fat. Our brain is composed of 70% to 80% of fat, and it needs it to function correctly. The good fats are imperative for body function. I think what people really need to become aware of is, just like you said, Mary, the chemicals that are being put into our foods. I am all for grass-fed butter. I love butter. There's so many good components to it that it far outweighs, you know, spraying our pans with, again, chemicals to then saute our vegetables or whatnot. I think that it's important that people realize that fat doesn't make you fat. It really doesn't. The good fat doesn't make you fat. Olive oil, avocado, good butter. For those that have, you know, dairy issues, ghee is a great alternative, and ghee is also known as clarified butter. So there are other alternatives out there. And, of course, I get into this when I'm really working with my clients. But, you know, to just let all your listeners know right now that fat is good for the body. It's nourishing.
Great information. Yeah, one of the things that I know I shifted when I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia was getting rid of the chemicals. I mean, I won't say that I won't make a dinner out of a bag of cheesy poofs every once in a while, but once I started paying attention to those chemical levels, I really found a difference. And my mom went through a horrible health scare, and the only thing that the doctor could figure out is that it had to do with the large amounts of Diet Coke she was drinking. But, basically she got dementia, she got weak. It was to the point where we were discussing end-of-life care. I mean, it was a really scary 2 months. And when she woke up, the only thing we could figure out is she hadn't had a Diet Coke in like 6 weeks. So chemicals are scary.
They very much are. And if I could say one thing, if people especially are looking to feel better initially and lose some weight, it's absolutely, if you drink soda, just get it out of your diet. There is nothing redeeming about it. And the one thing I want to make too, a comment I want to make is that, you know, oftentimes we feel that if we're open and vulnerable with sharing what it is we eat, because it's a very personal thing to let someone know exactly what you're putting in your body, we have this tendency to think that if I do this, you know, I'm bad or I'm good. You know, we kind of go into that realm of thinking. And I really encourage people not to think like that. I really would love someone to just, you know, come to the table in that vulnerability, again, looking at those three commitments that they're willing to make over the next 6 months. And I highly encourage just saying, you know what, I'm going to add in water, and thinking that you're going to kind of just push off the soda, because truly, I'm thrilled to hear that your mom as well, but hands down, just taking the soda out would do wonders for all of your listeners.
I agree. We've talked a lot about food, and wellness is so much more than that.
Absolutely.
Could you expand a little bit on, especially with our busy lifestyles, the other ways that we could add wellness and wellness-type activities into our lives?
Absolutely. You know, we keep such a busy pace, And we have a tendency, you know, to say yes to so many things, really good-naturedly, too. You know, it's like we really do want to be involved and we want to be in our communities and whatnot. But we often don't take time to just reflect and see if it's really in alignment with us. We kind of get in this habit of like, yes, 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 answering all these questions, yes. So what I really encourage people to do is kind of claim their time again. And it doesn't have to be hours upon hours in a day. But one of the things that has really worked for me is just really reclaiming my mornings back, having some quiet time in the morning to just, I encourage journal writing, and I call it a free write, you know. It starts real small, like 3 minutes, but it can, you know, lead into 10, 15, a half an hour of just writing with a nice cup of tea or lemon water. And it just allows that subconscious creativity to start flowing out. We're not engaged with any social media. We're not on anyone else's agenda yet. You know, and then I also really encourage something so simple, but we often forget when we're in the midst of saying yes, right, is breathing, really centered breathing, where you're inhaling for 5 seconds, you're holding for 7, and then you're exhaling for another 5. And that would complete one round of breath, and I encourage my clients to do 10. Because what that does is it calms our nervous system down, literally, and from that comes clarity. When we calm down our system on a physiological level, we truly can think clearly. We're changing our neurochemistry. So I highly encourage taking that quiet time, carving that out, even if it starts, like I said, from 3 to 5, 10 minutes, some part of your day, and kind of owning our time again.
Love it. Love it. Breathing is so important. Very, very important.
It's so simple, and we forget it. You know, we just think, oh, no, I don't have time or whatever. But I'll tell you, I have done it in times of stress and nervousness and chaos, and it really just calls you back to the present, and it just allows clarity.
It does. It does. And it can be done anywhere. I mean, you don't need anything special. You don't need, you know, nothing. You just you and your breath.
I had a client the other day actually tell me she's a nurse or going to be a nurse, and she was going in to take her final. And she was freaking out, and she was, you know, just highly nervous. And I said, okay, Yvette, you have to remember to breathe. You need to sit in your car and do the breath exercise. And she did, and she was so grateful. She was just grateful for me reminding her about that, because she was able to just calm down, center herself, and go in from really a place of, hey, I know this, you know, and stay calm and focused throughout the exam. It was awesome. It was fantastic, and she was just breathing.
Yay for her. Congratulations. That's awesome.
That is.
What tips would you have? Maybe somebody's listening right now and they're thinking, oh, this sounds wonderful. I really need to get back to journaling, or I really do need to take time for those breaths. What advice would you give for somebody who's trying to pick back up those healthy habits?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it really comes back to making the commitment to yourself. And, you know, in this day and age, again, when we're saying yes to everything, it's really, we're the first person to go. The relationship to ourself is the first one to go. And then usually it's with our partner or spouse, whoever is kind of that next intense relationship. And so I offer that you just create a space physically for yourself, anywhere in your home, apartment, condo, wherever it is that you live, there's a space that you have that is yours and that you can sit, again, with a piece of paper or a journal, or just quietly with even a meditation CD that you like, and set a timer, because sometimes we get to the point where we're like, oh, man, 10 minutes. I can't do 10 minutes. I've got so much to do. So set a timer for 3 minutes. And sit there and just close your eyes, center yourself, and breathe. Sometimes we often think that it's overwhelming. We just don't even know where to start. It's like, okay, yes, that sounds good and great, but I can't do that. I don't have time. I don't know where to start. You do. Find a special spot in your home. I want you to just close your eyes. You're going to set that timer, and it when it beeps, you're done. All you're doing there is really centering your breath. And initially, you know, it takes practice and diligence, like anything, to get good at. And so when that timer goes off, you're free to go about your day, but you're just going to, you know, add time every week. So then the following week, we're going to add another minute and another minute until you're comfortable really sitting in that space at the desired time that you'd like.
Excellent. Excellent. Great advice. Would you also want to talk a little bit about being gentle with yourself? Because this interview is going to air, of course, after the new year, and a lot of us have made and broken resolutions by now. I think it, from what I'm hearing, a lot of this sounds as if it goes hand in hand with being gentle with yourself.
Absolutely, it does. You know, we are our own worst critic, and we are hardest on ourselves. And so the reality is, to create a sustainable plan, we really have to be comfortable with the rolling hills, right? Because there is no perfect plan, and there is no plan that works the same for everybody. I really believe in bioindividuality, and what works for you, Mary, really might not work for me. It takes that diligence of really, truly listening to ourselves. And so I really offer, you know, if you're having a great day and then the next day, let's say you're going to lunch with someone and you maybe potentially make a choice that isn't the best for you, or, you know, you've had an argument with a loved one or whatnot, I encourage you to, again, go back to that quiet space and work on some self-forgiveness, because from there we can move on and just get back on the horse the next day. I think the reality is the image we've created in this world is that we all sustain everything all the time and we're perfect and we just do this and it's great. And you know what? I'm here to tell you that that's not true. I am a health and wellness expert, and let me tell you, I have thoroughly enjoyed the holidays with probably one too many glasses of wine and some delicious food that I don't normally have. But it was worth it because the nourishment that I got from the inner changes that I had that included those things were so good for my soul, it outweighed the fact that I knew, okay, I might not feel the greatest with this food in my body, but I knew I can get the next day I could get back on my horse that works for me. So it's kind of an ebb and flow of being okay with the fact that we're not, it's not going to be perfect. It's a process. And am I saying that, yes, every other day you cheat and do all this? No, I'm not necessarily saying that. What I'm saying is I am fully aware that life is real and life, you know, can get in the way sometimes. And the nourishment for the soul and the nourishment for the body really have to be symbiotic. And they need to work together in order to create a sustainable plan.
That's awesome. That really is. That is very awesome. We have about 8 minutes or so left here, and I want to talk about if somebody who is listening is moved to contact you to work with you, what is that process like?
It's great. You know, if someone is interested in that, what we do is I invite them into an hour-long conversation with me, and we get really clear on what it is that they want to work towards. Sometimes we think it's one thing and it ends up being another, so we really take a deep dive into the commitment that the person is willing to make, and we get clear on what they actually are. And then what we do is I can invite them into some of the programs that I have, and we create an individualized, sustainable plan that's going to be really workable for that particular person. Again, I shared that I really believe in the bioindividuality. So we pull into what their lifestyle is like, their career, their time. What really are they willing and able to put into the process? And then we work with that, and we create something that's going to really be transformative for them.
Wonderful. That is That sounds just like an awesome process. Mm. Go ahead and remind our listeners where they can find information about you.
Absolutely. You can find me on my website, which is www.theprimeliferx.com. You can also reach out to me at trish@theprimeliferx.com. Once you go to that website, by the way, I have a link to my time trade account, which puts you on my calendar, and we can set up right then and there a time that works for you that we can deep dive into this conversation. You can also find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at The Prime Life RX.
Great. Well, I have really enjoyed chatting with you today, and the information that you've shared has just been phenomenal, and I know it's really going to help our listeners. Is there anything that I didn't ask that you wish I did, or any last tips or tidbits of information that you'd like to share with our listeners?
You know, I just really want anyone that's listening, I want to encourage them and really let them know that the health and wellness journey is truly a process, and it starts with small steps. Super small steps, adding that water in, trying to get some more sleep, really just trying to take that 3 minutes for yourself during the day. And I encourage them to just add in one of those things, even this week, to just see the difference it makes in their life. Thank you so much for having me on your show, Mary. It's just been a pleasure.
Oh, you are very welcome. Thank you so much.
Let's go ahead and take a break. Then there'll be more Prosperity Power Hour with Mary Kailstow here on the Lifescape Radio Network. Welcome back to the Prosperity Power Hour with Mary Kailstow here on the Lifescape Radio Network. In the second half of our show, I'm going to be talking to you about vortex energy and the two levels that we can access. Before I do that, though, I want to take a moment and chat about Juno's Temple. Juno's Temple for Economic Development is a nonprofit designed specifically for spiritual entrepreneurs. In fact, the tagline of Juno's Temple is in sacred service to spiritual entrepreneurs. Though this is a new nonprofit, just filed last month, it is up and coming and growing, and I encourage you to visit junostemple.org for a list of ways that you can help us, as well as ways that we are looking to help serve you. Juno's Temple will be offering networking, education, marketing, and promotion. Think of it as a one-stop shop for spiritual entrepreneurs. We will have listings of spiritual entrepreneurs by discipline or modality, as well as by location, as well as Juno's Journal, a quarterly journal launching on the summer solstice. Juno's Journal currently seeks submissions of articles up to 1,500 words about any aspect of being a spiritual entrepreneur. This could be time management, education, marketing, mindset, whatever it takes to be a spiritual entrepreneur. Juno's Journal is looking for your submissions. I do encourage you to visit junostemple.org to check it out. You can also visit our Facebook page, which is Juno's Temple on Facebook. There is also a group on Facebook that you are welcome to join. This is a place for spiritual entrepreneurs to come together and ask questions, network, basically a safe place for entrepreneurs who work in spiritual areas. And when I say spiritual, I mean anything from intuitives or divination, all the way to life coaching, business coaching, anything that really gets at being a heart-centered and soul-centered entrepreneur. I encourage you to join our group on Facebook to get to know each other and as we work together. On our website, there is a listing of the items that we currently need as we move forward towards our goal of filing the IRS 503C paperwork. I encourage you to take a look at Juno's Temple and see how we can help you make your business grow in sacred service. In Jupiter Gardens Press News, This week, we'll see the release of Werewolves and Chocolate, a novella by Shauna Aurora Knight, who you may have heard interviewed on the Jupiter Frequency. She'll also be a guest here on the Prosperity Power Hour coming up in March. This novella will be available for free through our website as well as through her newsletter, and it'll also contain some bonus coupons for Jupiter Gardens Press work. If you're a fan of romances, especially romances involving tall, dark, and handsome werewolves, please pick up Werewolves and Chocolate. This is a fantastic story, and you will not be disappointed. Jupiter Gardens Press is also going through a bit of a reorganization, and you'll notice that we'll be launching our imprints, Jupiter Gardens Fiction and Jupiter Gardens Erotic, to divide off the fiction from the nonfiction. Nonfiction books will remain at Jupiter Gardens Press. You can always visit Jupiter Gardens Press's website, www.jupitergardenspress.com, for the latest of information, and I do encourage you to sign up for our newsletter as we make this exciting transition, because I feel that it will allow us to bring you, the reader, the books that you want, where and how you want them, and through websites that are specifically designed for your reading enjoyment. I do want to encourage you to pick up Sam Shelley's book, I Don't Dwell. Sam will be a guest here on our show coming up in the future. And we also have some other exciting guests coming up. If you are an author looking to submit your book, please don't hesitate to contact Jupiter Gardens Press. We are also making some changes in that area and look forward to better serving you with your publishing needs, regardless of whether you're looking for a publisher or just someone to help out with your endeavors. Now, let's go ahead and talk about vortex energy. So, you may have gathered, I work at Prosperity Vortex. It is my goal to help entrepreneurs heal their relationships with their business through energetic connections and chakra work, so they can create a prosperity vortex around them. The prosperity vortex is very similar to what you may have heard about in The Law of Attraction or The Secret, where there is a vortex of energies around you that draw prosperity and good things to you. We want to be in the center of this vortex because, just like in a hurricane, the center is the safe, calm spot. That is where all the energies come. That is where everything coalesces in the center, and we want to be there to catch all of the goodness. When we're in the outer bands of the vortex, we may be getting some benefit, but we're also being buffeted and bounced around. And that's when good things happen and bad things happen, and you feel like you're kind of a yo-yo. That's generally an indicator that you are in the outer bands of the prosperity vortex. But did you know there are actually two levels to vortex energy? The first level of vortex energy is just what I described. It's very passive. You are in the vortex, drawing energies and good things to you. The best way to get to this vortex is through energy work, as well as through mindset, thought process, and other methodologies that work along those same lines. That places you in the center of the vortex, which is a very desirable place to be. But when you're in the center, basically catching things as they come at you, there's a couple of drawbacks to that. The first drawback is that you can catch what's coming into your vortex, but if something isn't even in your vortex to come to you, in other words, if it's not even in your awareness or in your thought patterns, there's no way to draw that to you without bringing it into your vortex first. The second drawback is that you're catching things as they come to you. Imagine standing out in a rain shower with a cup and trying to catch a full cup of rain. Well, if it's pouring, you're going to fill that cup pretty quickly. If it's sprinkling or hit and miss rain, you could be standing out there all day and still not get a full cup of rain, although you're going to get pretty wet. So the first level of energy is very good, and it makes a great first step. And obviously, it's the sort of passive place that we want to be, where we draw good things to us in an easy and effortless way. There are plenty of uses for this first level of energy. I certainly don't want to dismiss it in any way. The first level of energy is the passive and effortless level, where things just come to you and you just kind of reach out your hand and catch them as they fly by. You know, you need to make a new sale. Whoop, you caught it and you made a new sale. you need to manifest something for your house or perhaps a new car. Oh, look, there comes one and you caught it. That is the first level of energy. And I think that is where a lot of us want to be. And a lot of us also want to go beyond this. Because as we're making the transition from somebody who is not aware of prosperity vortex energy or the vortex to working with the energies and being able to reach out. And let me tell you, when you're reaching into the vortex, that can be quite an exhilarating experience and it can be quite trying as well because you are dealing with energies that are buffeting around. And if you're not good and grounded and centered, which is why, frankly, a lot of what I have offering right now on my website are chakra meditations, chakra discoveries. You've really got to get your energy in order to start riding the vortex and to start reaching out there and pulling things out of it. Because if you're not properly grounded or tethered, when you send yourself out into the vortex to pull something either closer to you or claim something that's there, or even to pull something into your vortex so you can even begin to think about it, if you're not properly grounded and your energy center isn't properly aligned, that can cause a lot of problems because the winds of the vortex, the energy of the vortex, tends to buffet you this way or that way. It tends to be pretty wild out there. So you've got to maintain a good grounding and a good energy center. Because if you don't, that's when a lot of times you get sucked into other people's thoughts or you get sucked into other people's orbits. They kind of suck you into their vortex. That happens when you're not properly grounded and secure in and of yourself. And that's where that energy work and the chakra work that I do with entrepreneurs, introducing them to the energetic body of their business and the chakras of their business, that's where that really comes into play. So the level two of the energy is to be able to reach out and either snag something from one of those outer bands and pull it smack dab into the center with you, or to go beyond your vortex and pull something that you hadn't thought about. Play that old what if game. You know, what if I made $5,000 a month? What if I made $25,000 a month? What if I had this in my business or that in my life? When you start playing the what if, and start thinking about things that may never have been on your radar at all before, that is when you work with the vortex energy to really get a feel for it and really pull things into your orbit. So there are two levels. And I really want to encourage you to think about where you're at right now. If you're not in a place where you're in the center of that prosperity vortex and able to catch things as they go by, obviously that's where you need to start. Level two is awesome, but level two also requires a firm foundation. So get comfortable with your energy centers, with your chakras, with your mindset. Make sure you are good and you are aligned before you start working with energies and other things besides the vortex. That is also why I like to encourage entrepreneurs to really see the energetic bodies of their business. Because the biggest part of seeing that you're aligned is also seeing that your business is not you. You can be aligned and your business can be totally out of alignment, or you could have a rockin' really aligned business and you're just a mess. So there are different ways to look at this, but the important thing is that you are not your business. And so we do work on the business chakras, the business's energies, to make sure that you realize that you are not your business. And obviously that will save you a lot of pain and heartache in the future, because when you do think you're a business, you're your business, then, you know, anything that happens to that business, good or bad, you really internalize that and take that personally. And the truth of the matter is, you are beautiful and perfect and doing the right things right now. Perhaps the business is not doing as well as you think, or perhaps there's things that could be tweaked in the business, but that has absolutely no reflection on you, your mindset, or your worthiness, or anything like that. So if you're hearing thoughts like that from other people, or you're getting thoughts like that, tune them out. Tell them to go away. Send them away. Because You are good and exactly where you need to be and on the right path. And just because you do not see or resonate with somebody's thoughts right now, or you don't get what they're saying, does not make you a bad person. It does not make you broken or wrong somehow. And that goes for your business. If your business is not doing what it needs to be doing, that has no bearing on you other than the fact that the business needs some help. Energy work can help, as well as possibly getting some more education, fine-tuning your marketing. There are a million different things that you can do to help your business, but none of them mean that you are bad or broken or wrong. And so that's why I really like to focus on helping entrepreneurs with their energetic bodies and their business chakras, because honestly, I think that's where it all begins. And once you start working on your personal energetic bodies, your personal chakras, and your business's energetic body and chakra, then you can start to level up and work on the level one vortex energy and the level two vortex energy and really begin to make things happen and really begin to manifest those powerful things that you want to manifest in your life and in your business. And all it takes is just a little bit of energy work and some thought processes and some aligning and the big understanding that you are exactly where you need to be, exactly at this time, doing exactly what you need to do. And it is all really, really good. I've kind of gotten off script a little bit talking about energy bodies, but that's okay, because really that felt like it needed to be said. The thing I want you to think about this week, we've had a fantastic conversation here with Trish from the Prime Life RX in our first section, and I've been talking about vortex energies. I really want you to think about this week, what goals are you pursuing personally, professionally, and are they really your goals? Because this goes all completely hand in hand with the vortex energy, with the prosperity vortex, and with what she was talking about. I want you to think about what goals you are producing, what goals you're thinking about, and are they your goals? And I say this because so often as entrepreneurs, we hear things, we learn things, we take classes, and we get told a lot what we should think or do. We're told how much we think we should make. We're told how much we think we're worth. We're told what we're doing devalues us. We're told a lot of things in a lot of absolute terms. And let me tell you, nothing drives me nuts more than people saying things in absolute terms as far as this is what your business should be doing, and if you're not doing this, then XYZ is wrong. That is a huge pet peeve of mine, and it really isn't something that's productive. So I want you to think about your goals. We are almost a month, well, by the time this airs, we'll be a good month into the new year. And you've got some New Year's resolutions. You may have made some goals. You may have thought about ways that 2014 is going to be new, best, bigger, more exciting, more prosperous. Insert your word here, year. You might even have fallen off that resolution bandwagon, or perhaps you've completely revamped them and are going in a new direction. Wherever you are with those goals and resolutions, I want you to think about your goals. Write them down on a piece of paper. You know, my goal is to do this. My goal is to do this. And it doesn't matter if your goal is to lose 20 pounds, make a certain amount of money each month, or perhaps even visit half a dozen states. Whatever those goals are that are really driving you right now, take time, put them down on a piece of paper, and just think about why do you want those goals? And also think about the work that you've been putting in towards those goals. It could be that you have some very beautiful, very wonderful goals that you are completely 100% and totally not motivated to do. If that's the case, and it'll probably become apparent pretty quickly if it is, if that's the case, take a few moments and think about why. Why did you want that goal in the first place? Why were you given that goal? Why were you suggested that goal? Why do you think that goal is the one that you need to be pursuing right now? There's a good chance if you're not motivated to do the goal, it's because it's not really your goal. It's very nice, very wonderful, very lovely and beautiful, but it's just not what you want to do right now. You want to go in a different direction. This is all part of that energy work and energy management that I chatted about earlier when I talked about vortex energy. Knowing your goals, knowing what you want and why you want it, and then pursuing what works for you, even if it means making some tough decisions. That really is a vital part of energy management and moving you into that prosperity vortex. Because anything you can release, anything you can let go of, that frees up that energy that even if you had not been actively working on the goal, there's been a part of your mind going, you need to do that. You need to do that. Hello, have I told you? You need to do that. That part of your mind will shut up when you release the goal. When you let the goal go, that part of your mind gets quiet because it's got nothing to bug you over. So taking time to evaluate your goals, and maybe you do this monthly, maybe you do this quarterly, maybe you do this every 6 months, whatever that duration is, and I'd probably recommend not going a whole year because our lives can change a lot in 2 or 3 months, whatever that duration is, taking some time to evaluate those goals and think about why you're doing them and what's driving you to do them will really help you find clarity. And it's really important that you have clarity if you're going to be working with energy, because energy is not ambiguous. The universe is a pretty literal place. And what that means is that what you put your energy into grows. And if you're not specific about that energy, there's a good chance that things are going to happen or manifest in ways that you probably didn't imagine. And that probably could have worked out better for you if you had been more specific. The universe can read your mind, but the universe also focuses on the energy that you put into it. And I have seen that happen both in my own life as well as in the lives of my clients and friends in some pretty interesting and sometimes very hilarious ways. So get specific. Think about your goals. Think about why you're doing them. Make sure that the energy that you're putting into your goals and that you're putting into your life is really what you want to be doing. And have the sense to go ahead and release what isn't working for you. Even if that's a big goal that some big name person told you you ought to have or you feel like you ought to have because everybody's marketing about this, feel free to let that goal go. Feel free to release that because the energy that you're going to be freeing up will help keep you more securely in the vortex, and it will also help keep you more securely and better aligned with your purpose and your higher self. So I really want to thank you for listening to our show this week. I hope you're enjoying the Prosperity Power Hour. We have got some phenomenal interviews lined up. I have, you know, got some great guests. I've already recorded quite a few interviews. This is just going to be a great ride. I do want to remind you that I also have a podcast called Prosperity Moons that airs on my website on the full and new moons. And this provides a little bit of information as well as a guided meditation. And the guided meditation is designed to help you see and clear those chakras, as well as to bring in the information that we chat about, which is usually related astrologically to the new or full moon, as well as what that means to be a full moon or to be a new moon. For example, our last show that we did on the 20th of January talked about new beginnings and creating new beginnings by looking at the past, because this new moon happened right before Mercury retrograde. And whether you believe in astrology or not, whether you feel like this has any bearing whatsoever on your life or not, I do hope that you find Prosperity Moons to be thought-provoking and interesting, because if nothing else, it's talking about concepts that entrepreneurs really need to think about and really need to do. So you can grab those over at prosperityvortex.com on my blog. You should also be able to subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, but you can always get that on my blog at prosperityvortex.com. I encourage you to swing by Facebook and like my Facebook page, facebook.com/prosperityvortex. Every so often, I throw up a thread on there and offer free Vortex Oracle readings. I just did one yesterday. It was really a lot of fun. So like my page, stay tuned for those, and you can get free Vortex Oracle readings. Speaking of free Vortex Oracle readings, subscribers to my newsletter receive an opportunity each month to win a free Vortex Oracle reading. There are also some other goodies that go out to subscribers of my newsletter only, including announcements of when I offer free chakra discovery sessions. I try to do 5 to 10 a month, as well as sliding scale priced business chakra discovery sessions. Again, I try to do 5 or 10 of those a month as well. So I only announce those to my newsletter subscribers, and I encourage you to head on over to my website and subscribe to my newsletter. You can do this through the box at the bottom of the page, grabbing a free copy of your ebook, or on the free resources page, there is a link to a quiz that you can take, and the quiz also prompts you to subscribe to my newsletter. Either way is cool, but I encourage you to do that because I do offer lots of goodies and lots of love to my newsletter subscribers, and I really encourage you to go ahead and be on the newsletter. Of course, on Lifescape Radio Network here, you can get all the details about all of the shows coming up at lifescaperadio.com. Don't forget to look for Lifescape Radio on Facebook. There is a page. There's also a group. And, of course, being part of the Tarot Guild family, there's the Tarot Guild group on Facebook. That is a really fun group to be in. Thank you so much. Next week, we'll have another great interview and another Prosperity Power Hour. Until then, may you always be in the center of your own prosperity vortex. Hey,